If you stand, please. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Loham Chapel. We've met together to remember Inga this afternoon. And so we're going to do that by singing hymns, by reading the Bible, by praying, and family tributes will be given to give us a flavour of Inga's life. And so it's going to be good. So we'll take our hymn sheets and our first hymn is How Great Thou Art. Inga loves singing. She loves music, and so we're going to sing now. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder Okay, would you like to sit down? And we have our Bible reading now. Vienna is Wicks is going to read to us John 14, verses 1 to 6.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you that in these difficult times you have given us the Bible to guide us and to comfort us. Thank you, Lord God, for the promise of many rooms in the Father's house, which is heaven. And now, Lord, we are thankful that Inga has run the race and finished well, and she is now enjoying your presence along with her husband, Stephen. Lord, we ask for your comfort in our sadness because we do miss Inga. And Lord, we just ask that you will be with us in our sorrow and grief. But Lord, we also rejoice in the faith that Inga displayed. We remember those fruits of the Holy Spirit that we saw in her, the love, the joy, and the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, and the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. So, Lord, we just ask you now for your help as we go on through this service, remembering her as a mother, as a sister, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, an auntie, and a friend. So, Lord, we're here to give you our thanks for Inga. Amen. Okay, so now we've got some tributes. First of all, Andrew Rome is going to read from Niels Wicks. So, Andrew, would you like to come forward, please?
Inga, my dear mother, her gentle presence now greatly missed, always saw the best in others, tolerant, never judging, leading by example, rare qualities. Born in Denmark in 1932, the firstborn of four children to hard-working parents, father an artist and decorator, mother a dressmaker. A happy childhood with many good memories, but living through some serious events. During an outbreak of polio in 1939, Mum contracted the disease but survived. Growing up during the German occupation of 1940 to 1945, she had hair-raising stories to relay. In the mid-1950s, Mum left Denmark to work in the UK as an au pair, at first for a family in Bradford, and then moving to work in Bournemouth. In due course, beautiful Inga Klingenberg met Stephen Wicks, and they were soon married. Marrying into the loving, if eccentric, Wicks family, she assimilated well, while retaining her Danish heritage. Five children followed in close succession, each given a Danish Christian name. Five normal, boisterous, bickering youngsters. We must have pushed Mum's patience to the limit, but she rarely used cross words, and if she did, they were well deserved. Happy times. Family outings with grandparents, aunts and cousins, in and around Dorset, along the coast, to Sandbanks and Studland, and in Bluebell Woods. Always picnics, lots of picnics, joyful and carefree days. All of Mum's energies went into raising her family. Just a housewife, people say. Such a throwaway phrase, doing no justice to what is the most demanding of jobs. Mum was uncomplaining, patient, always showing us unconditional love. Rare qualities. In 1974, the family moved from Bournemouth to deepest, darkest Somerset. A rambling old house and lots of space to run free. A growing family, mouths to feed. Mum was an excellent cook, and at this time there were weekly batches of sweet-smelling bread devoured with relish. Food always cooked from scratch and delicious, which leads me on to the puddings. Mum excelled at these, the Danish influence coming to the fore. Pastries with almond paste, sultanas and creme patisserie, topped with flaked almonds, worthy of MasterChef. Most Danish dishes had unpronounceable names to Brits. Mouth-watering fruit fools made with seasonal fruits, and an unlikely concoction of soaked stale bread, Guinness, eggs, sugar and cream. Delicious and unusual. Oh, and not forgetting the Mars bar cakes. Mum's talents also encompassed music, which went through her whole life. She had a sweet, clear singing voice, and found at an early age that she could harmonise naturally. Always singing. whether in a group with Nina and Ulla in church, or singing to the robin in the garden. Mum played the piano well, mostly by ear, but also reading music, always with joy. Mum's two favourite films matched her talents, The Sound of Music and Babette's Feast. In 1983, Mum and Dad moved to Swanage and lived there for 10 years. Grandchildren were born, 8 in all, a source of great happiness. A happy life in Swanage, family visits, beach holidays and great walks. In 1993, they moved back to Somerset, this time to Lowham. A challenging move, as they were not getting any younger, and Dad would insist on moving vast collections of books, furniture and plants. Lowham Chapel welcomed Inga and Stephen with great love. They were cherished here, made wonderful friends, and were supported within the church community. Mum's faith was pure and unshakable, giving her strength giving her strength and joy all through her long life. She loved singing at the chapel, embracing contemporary worship songs as well as old favourites. She lived her life by Christian teachings, a faith of absolute trust and a certain knowledge of eventually joining her Saviour. Mum and Dad lived out their remaining years in a lovely wooden home installed by Anna and adapted to suit their needs. Great-grandchildren born, 5 and counting, a blessing and a delight. When the stroke came, it was sudden and devastating. 9 days in Yeovil Hospital were a special time. A time for friends and family to say their goodbyes, hold her hand, talking and sharing our memories in Mum's peaceful presence. She didn't regain consciousness, and on Sunday the 16th of June she passed away. At the end, Arne and myself held her as she quietly left us. It felt like a great privilege. My dear Ma, Inga, her gentle presence will be greatly missed.
Thank you, Andrew. And now Niels is going to give us a piano tribute as well. Thank you, Niels.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to invite Lars to come up and share his tribute too.
Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. Thanks, Nils, for that lovely tribute to Mum. That was beautiful, beautiful. So a few words to say about Mum, Inga. And I'd like just to talk about a few of her characteristics, if I frame it in that way. So one characteristic one could describe Mum as, Mum was a Viking. Now, it might not be the image that springs to mind when you think of my mum, because she was the furthest thing from the traditional image of a Viking. You could imagine, yeah, she was one of the gentlest, kindest person one could meet. But she was Danish, so that's my Viking connection. As Nils was saying, you know, she was born in Denmark in difficult times and lived through the German occupation of Denmark in 1940. And I think there's just one anecdote from her that time. I think she remembered German soldiers, or there might have been Nazi youth, wasn't quite sure, German soldiers walking up the street outside their house, and her and some friends are outside. And some of the soldiers beckoned them over and gave them a few coins, said, can you go to the corner shop and buy us some chocolate? And she and her friends did exactly that. They thought they'd do this for this what seemed to be their friendly person, and that's what they did. And I think that's perhaps a glimpse into Mum's ability to always see the good in anybody and to give them the benefit of the doubt, despite their background or outward appearance. You know, she had a heart for everybody, and even at that young age, you know, even in those circumstances, she showed that. As Nils was saying, after moving to Denmark, she came to England to work as an au pair and worked for a family in Yorkshire, in Bradford. And I think the story is that on the train to Bradford, someone asked her why she was going to Bradford. And she said, well, I'm going there to work as an au pair to improve my English. And they said, well, I'm not sure Bradford's the best place for going to improve your English. Apologies to anybody from Yorkshire. It's a wonderful county. But she did struggle with the accent initially to understand what was happening. And then, as Nils was saying, she moved to Bournemouth, and that's where our story here began, really. I think it's worth mentioning that her and Dad were part of the Exclusive Brethren movement at that point in their lives, which they, along with a lot of others at that time, became increasingly uncomfortable with because of the direction that particular branch of the Brethren was going in, and they felt it just wasn't biblical, and they felt it wasn't right. So they made a very significant decision to leave the movement. And actually, that was, a decision that really shaped their lives. You know, I think with the Brethren in those days, you were either in or you were out. And they chose to be out. And they were... Well, Father's family came out at the same time, but Mum's didn't. And in effect, she was cancelled. You know, she had no contact really with that side of her family since that day. That was a very hard time for Mum, a very big decision to make. And I think that was she bore that pain throughout her life, I think. But she quietly carried the pain of that separation. And you would never hear anything but concern and love for her family across the sea. Another characteristic of Mum was, as Nils was saying, she definitely was a homemaker. You know, she tirelessly served her family. And her uncomplaining dedication was remarkable. Now, Mum, she would like to keep a clean house and keep things clean and tidy, which isn't a particularly strong Wicks characteristic on its own. So, Mum, that's true. But see, it was always a bit of a struggle for Mum to keep the house clean and tidy. There were certainly some of us boys around. And particularly when we came to live in Somerset and Dad was in the middle of his businesses, of which Nils alluded to, you know, he would collect and buy furniture and many things would end up in the house. I think he kept far more than he ever sold from his businesses because the house was stuffed to the gunwales with things. It was the original man cave, our house growing up. And Mum would have to deal with this constant flow of things in and out of the house. But she did it with great patience and great love. And I think it's a testament to Mum that, you know, they had a really open door and they welcomed everybody in, you know, visitors, delivery men, general waifs and strays, all our friends would all find a welcome in their house, and she'd always have something to feed them with and a cup of tea to go with it. And I think it's a bit of a testament that some of my childhood friends are here today, that, you know, they were welcomed into our home and part of that family, and I appreciate you being here. Another thing, Mum, was she was a feeder, as Neil's saying, and, you know, she had some wonderful Danish recipes, particularly desserts, and I can rarely remember a meal going by without a selection of desserts being on offer. And the biggest choice was whether you had whipped cream, pouring cream, ice cream, or all of them, which did happen on occasion. And she used to make, you know, a few signature dishes like Mars bar cakes. And I must ask for a bit of forgiveness from my long-suffering friend Ben, because I did end up selling him some of Mum's Mars bar cakes on a few occasions, because they were so good and in such high demand. Now, Mum was also a singer, as we've heard today, and she loved to sing. And she loved to sing and praise and worship as an expression of her deep faith and love of Jesus. And you've heard some of the singing that Mum and Nina and Ulla did together back in the 1980s. We heard that as we were coming in. We may hear some more later on as well. But she loved to sing. And she was, you know, as Neil said, she played the piano and she sang. And I have a vivid memory of her singing and playing quite recently with Walter the Peacock looking in through the window, listening to Mum singing and playing. And she had a very attentive audience with Walter there. But ultimately, Mum was a follower of Christ. She had a deep and an unshakable faith as a Christian, and she put her service to God, you know, foremost in all she did. And her love for Jesus was, you know, evident for us all to see. Really, she loved to talk to God in prayer, and she and Dad, they would pray every day. And they had a little book, and they wrote down all the things they would pray for and all the people they wanted to pray for. And I think most people in this room would have been in that little book at some point. You know, they would have prayed for them regularly, probably daily. She really loved to talk to the Lord in that way. But now, you know, we know that Mum has gone on. I mean, her body is still here, but, you know, I think Mum is her soul, her spirit, which lives on and is now with God. And I really believe she's in that far better place, a place filled with God's glory and light. I don't really know how to imagine heaven or what that will be like or what it's like to be in God's presence. But I imagine she is there and will be there, just singing the praises of God himself, and, you know, joining in with that heavenly choir she loved to sing herself. So I think that's all I want to say, but I really appreciate you all coming here today. And I just want to say a big thanks to all the folk here at the chapel for welcoming Mum and Dad in and being their spiritual home for so many years, and the care and love they gave to them, particularly in these last few years. Many thanks to you all. Thank you, Jeff. So, yeah, back over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Lars. That was great. I do remember as a teenager, we went to their house in Kingsbury, you know, that great big manor house, and we'd run around for a bit and then have a wonderful feast around Christmas time, and it was just so good. And even when we had food in the chapel here, there'd always be a purple dish, which was Danish, and I don't remember the name, but we're going to miss it. So, Aaron, I hope you're got the recipe there. Oh, well done. Anyway, we're going to stand and sing now. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. I'd like to invite Aaron up now to say a few words.
It's great to see everyone here. Thanks ever so much for coming. It's amazing to see everyone. I'm just going to read a few paragraphs from, it's from an old Contact magazine from the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Swanage. And it's Mum's own words. She's written in about 1986. And I've got various copies of these if anyone wants to read it all the way through later on. So I'll just read a little bit to you. My father was an artist and decorator, and my mother was a dressmaker. We had a happy childhood in spite of the war, and I'm very thankful to my parents for bringing me to Jesus. I can't remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, but my faith came gradually. I often had doubts if I was saved or not. The little meeting in Vibor consisted only of two families, and we were often visited from folk from Copenhagen, Sweden, and sometimes England. When I was 8, I contracted polio, which was an epidemic in the country at the time, and I was in hospital for 4 weeks. But my family and friends were all praying for me, and I was very thankful that I only had a stiff back for some time afterwards. I used to get terrible nightmares, but one night I saw angels around my bed. They were singing. I have never heard such beautiful singing. I think my Heavenly Father was telling me that I needn't be afraid. And I'm sure, Mum, after hearing those most amazing angel voices, she all her life she was trying to emulate that, I think, in her singing. She, as you've heard, she just absolutely loved to sing and to harmonise. And very often you'd find Mum playing the piano and singing. And like Lars says, with just lately in the last year, a peacock listening on. So she loved that peacock, so that's great. And we also, the last couple of years, Mum and myself joined the little singing group at the chapel, which Juliet's been running, which has been brilliant. And Mum's always harmonising and singing along, which she loved. And on that note, Nina, Alyssa, Ariella, Vienna and myself would like to try and make a harmonious sound, hopefully. And we'd like to sing one of Mum's favourite hymns, which is Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. And if you'd like to join us for the fourth verse, that would be great. And then Nina will just finish off with a half a verse at the end. Okay, thank you.
Wonderful. You did the harmony great. Thank you. I would like to ask Barry now to come and give us the address, please. Thank you, Barry.
There, but I thought in view of the fact that these bits of wood here were bits that we cut off the roof upstairs or the arches upstairs, and one day I said to Arne, we really could do with a little platform or whatever here, and he said, I'll see what I can do. It's beautiful. The curves in it are all from the arches upstairs where we used to play football and keep banging our heads, so we had to do something about it. And so I had them in the farm, and so they were there, fairly dusty. And Arne managed to do this, and he put in this very clever bit here so that some of us who are a bit shorter can manage as well as those who are quite a bit taller. So I thought it was good to come here just to speak for a minute or two. There isn't much I can say because it's been said in many ways, but I want to just read a few verses from Scripture because I believe this is what Inga would have me do. So I was going to start by reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, at the end. Romans chapter 8, I better get my glasses. Because I think this is what Inga will be saying, as well as Paul the Apostle. In chapter 8 it said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is what I think she would be saying. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That would be Inga's testimony. And I think the greatest thing that she would wish today is that each of you here today knows her Savior as well. I don't think she'd have a greater wish than that, that we might know the Lord Jesus, who she displayed so evidently. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't know of anybody who was a much better person than Inga. And yet she would acknowledge that as well. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But also, she would also say, the same as the Apostle Paul, there is no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. The Bible tells us quite clearly that there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to be with Jesus in glory, worshiping him, singing with him, praising him, as she would do. And her desire would be that each one of you, and myself, would know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. That as a result of knowing him, you might have the joy unspeakable that Inga found in him. I don't know of anybody else who exuded the love of the Lord Jesus and an example for us any more than Inga did. And all I would hope is that all of you, especially family members, would think on these things and just ponder. You know, normally she would be sat there next to Arne and that would be her seat, and she would be there. And if you were a preacher, she was always encouraging you. First of all, her smile was there. She had a smile that, you know, all of us can remember, can't we? It was a special smile, really. And afterwards, she would nearly always say thank you for the message that had been given, even if we didn't really deserve it. But she was lovely in that. You know, so all I'm saying is, and I don't want to hang about with it because I don't think that's the way Inga worked. The only time that Inga, as far as I know, engaged in long conversations was with a lady that's come down from Scotland that's sitting near the front. That's right, isn't it? I gather that when you came down, you and Inga had a good chat together. Yeah. You had a lot to catch up on, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. But other than that, Inga showed us Christ's love by her example. And the other morning, I was doing my usual little bit of reading, and I was reading from a book that has daily readings in it. And it said this, and I thought this described Inga probably better than I could. There is a story of one who became a Christian. And when asked under whose preaching he'd been converted, he replied, "Under nobody's preaching, but under Aunt Mary's practicing. If any of you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I suggest that it may be as a result of Inga's practicing about the Saviour that she loved. I trust that each one of you will reflect on her and think about that and be challenged by it. And I trust that many of you might come to know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour as well." She's in glory. She's there with her Lord and Saviour. She's there with Stephen and many others rejoicing and praising. And there won't be any bad music there at all. It'll all be beautiful harmonised singing. And she'll be in her element. And so just think on her and think on her witness and reflect on her love of the Lord Jesus and reflect on the love of the Lord Jesus for her and remember that that love is for you as well. Amen. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Barry. So we're come to our last hymn now, and it's "In Christ Alone." In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone is solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Shall we stand and sing this wonderful hymn together? Shall we remain standing for a moment while we give the blessing? May the love of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the peace of Jesus Christ be with us forevermore. Amen. The Wicks family would like to thank you all for joining us this morning. And it's just been a great time, I'm sure you agree. Thank you.